A couple of years ago, there was someone in St. Louis who put some creative religious billboards up. I don't know if it happened here in Roanoke or not, but I paid close attention to them. They were quite interesting. One of them read, "Let's meet at my house Sunday before the game, signed God. Come on over and bring the kids, signed God." All the billboards are signed God. Some of them were warnings, like, "What part of thou shalt not didn't you understand?" Or, "Have you read my number one bestseller? There will be a test." Or, "You think it's hot here?" That one was in August of in a very humid St. Louis. Several of them focused on people stuck in traffic. They were on the interstates. "Keep using my name in vain and I'll make your rush hour longer." One of them read, "Will the road you're on get you to my place?" Or, "Do you have any idea where you're going?" One announces, "My way is the highway." Another one declared, "We need to talk." A few reminded us about the situations in our society. "Love the wedding. Invite me to the marriage." And Big Bang Theory, you've got to be kidding. Or that love thy neighbor thing, I meant it. My favorite was this one. It cajoles like a parent speaking to children. It warns, "Don't make me come down there." I was visiting in Newport News, and this reminded me of that particular visit. This family that I was visiting had two children. They were 8 and 10 years old. One was a girl and one was a boy. And while I was there, they were sent downstairs in the basement to play. Well, we had just sat down to visit, and I heard a blood-curdling scream come from the basement. Now, I didn't have this kind of situation at the time, not this old. I was inexperienced, and I couldn't really distinguish between cries, you know, the ones that are emergency cries and regular war games. So this apparently was just a war game going on. I lurched from my seat, and the mother stood up, walked to the door, and shouted down the steps, "Don't make me come down there." It got really quiet, all of a sudden. Now, I thought we should all go down there, because I figured one of two was absolutely in bad trouble, and the other one was going to get in trouble. So I thought perhaps that would be the best, but the kids got quiet. Simple threat from on high seemed to work. Eventually, she did have to go down there. And the kids came up, and they both went to their rooms so we could talk. I felt really bad about that whole visit. It didn't quite go so well. Now, I've had almost as much experience interceding between warring children today as the UN peacekeeping missions, and about as much success interceding. Verbal warnings seldom work. There's no substitute for personal presence. So we come to the season of Advent. Now, the secular society celebrates Christmas as a commercial holiday, and there's conspicuous consumption. The church holds back. We wait for God's timing. We wait for God's intervention. We wait for God to come in person. God has reached out to humanity so many times, in so many ways, in just about every way but billboards. Telephone calls, I suppose. And didn't God give us bountiful and beautiful signs in His creation? Enough food to feed the world, to share with everyone? And didn't God choose the patriarchs and the matriarchs of Israel to reveal the divine love and promise of God? And didn't God enter a covenant relationship with God's people and then reveal a way of life that makes for peace and wholeness and a recognition of each of us as a part of God's creation made in His image? And didn't God send the prophets to warn us that selfishness, disregard for the poor, a casual disinterest in the divine would one day lead to disaster? And didn't God already come in person? I mean the person of Christ. And wasn't He a person of peace and love and forgiveness? And didn't He call us to life? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see we need God to come back down here again. Do I have to come down there? In order for us to get along. Cease the violence. Stop the destruction. Maybe all of us need to be sent into a quiet place for a while, huh? Go to your rooms. No more TV. Stop watching CNN or CNBC or Fox just for a little while. Stop it. Might be for our own good. And we're in this position that Israel was in after the exile. You know, they'd returned from captivity to the Babylonians, you know. And God said, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to give you another opportunity. And they rebuilt the land, and they replanted their faith, and they'd done a lot of really good things, and much better than they had done in the first time. But life was hard. And they had enemies. And then they started fighting with each other. They needed some help. So they began to pray. Oh, that You would tear open the heavens and come down here. God, we need You here. Let the mountains quake in Your presence, and let the fire come forth, and make Your name known you've done awesome deeds before. Ages past, you've done miraculous things, and we believe, God, that you can do miraculous things again. And no eye has perceived any God beside you who works for those who wait for him. You can hear the longing. They had longing, impatient waiting for God to do something that they couldn't do themselves. God, this is a situation that it appears there's nothing we can do to fix it. And the only way it's going to get fixed is for you to enter in. God didn't answer their prayers right away. We're not told why. It appeared they deserved what they got. That's what they said. They threw themselves on God's mercy. They waited for God's reply. At least they were still waiting, and they had the faith to keep waiting. And God did answer their prayer in time. But what are we waiting for? The end of violence? Where's God in all of this? We find different answers to the questions. Lamar Williamson writes, "The regularity of Christmas makes genuine expectancy difficult, at least for adults. Perhaps facing the unexpectedness of the ultimate divine invasion can lift believers above the institutionalized expectations to a mere vital watchfulness." Mark 13 speaks to those who expect too much. They expect too much. And they expect too little. It's especially pertinent for those who've forgotten to expect anything at all. In fact, we've become a generation and we don't think that there can be or will be any healing. There aren't too many of us in our church who are caught up in this apocalyptic frenzy. There are those in our world and our country who pore over the Bible, try to piece together the end time prophecies, and it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and they come to their conclusion and they've confirmed the end is near. They picture the end in some terrifying ways. The breakdown of civilization, no electricity, no gas, no gasoline, no food in the pantry, no water in the taps, and planes crashing and trains wrecking and neighbors attacking neighbors. And then God intervenes. God comes down and puts a stop to it all. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God will invade, but I wonder whether people who ask God to interfere directly in our world quite realize what they're asking for." I mean, when that happens, it's the end of the world. And when the author walks onto stage, the play is over. God's going to invade, all right. But what good is it saying you're on God's side then when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream, and something that never entered into your head to conceive comes crashing in, something so beautiful in some of us and so terrible to others that none of us won't ever have a choice at that point. The purveyors of the modern apocalyptic assume they are on the Lord's side. So they're pressing their robes and turning their harps for the vision of heaven, and they make a pretty penny scaring the rest of us. But I don't hear any longing for the meek to inherit the earth or for the poor to be vindicated, and I don't hear any longing for a new heaven and a new earth. Not like the Bible describes, since they will be not in power and not so nearly pampered. These apocalyptic profiteers play on the pathology of religious nuts. Irritates me. But frankly, I worry more about those who've given up on God altogether. And I think we're a society and have become a society where we've just cast God aside completely. We're not expecting divine intervention at all. We have our side and our case and our points, and God's not included in any of it. Right? My justice. So where is God in that? Where is God in all of this? I shared with you folks, I was the pastor of a little church on the outskirts of Missouri, Ferguson United Methodist Church. It was and is and will continue to be a beautiful community. I've had phone conversations with some business owners, some of whom were members of the church. Some are leaving, some are staying. I've talked to black and I've talked to white. Do you know what they've asked me to do? Do you know what they've asked you to do? Would you stop listening to the strong voices and the media voices and start listening to God's voice? And would you pray? Most of the people in Ferguson are not like the people you see on TV. Okay? Some of them are, unfortunately. That's too bad. But where is God in all of this? Where is God in our world today? Where is God in the midst of conflict? You've been in conflict, haven't you? And how was God glorified in all of that? And the prophet complains, there's nobody who calls on your name. No, nobody's calling on you, God. We all want our way. We want our justice. We want our way. And there's no attempt to take hold of you. It seems like, God, that you've hidden your face from us and you've just delivered us into the hands of iniquity. I know, folks, that faith gets hard sometimes. And the longer we live and the more difficulty we see, the harder faith is. And some people, I'll tell you, some people give up completely on faith. Science has claimed much of what used to belong to God. There's so many different religions these days. They all seem to cancel each other out and prove only that there's just this deep religious strife. And there's some longing that all of us have for some relationship with God, but nobody really knows the right way, and we can't get a grip on this. And hardest of all, I suppose, are the personal experiences that you've had, the pain, the suffering, the prayers unanswered, the relationships that were never reconciled, the illnesses that weren't healed, and the dreams that have not been fulfilled, and the questions that haven't been answered, and there are 1,000 ways not to believe in God. And 1,000 reasons not to believe in God. And with wars and holocausts and plagues And it's been 20 centuries since Jesus came. And where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And where's the hope of his coming? Do we need a longing for God in our world today? Do we? Come on, folks, you know. Yeah. Does God need to enter in somehow? ? 90% of Americans say they believe in God. 80% say they are members of a church. And 4% are regular churchgoers. Did you hear me? ? 28% of Catholics are in church any given Sunday. 20% of Protestants. I'm not sure most Americans believe there's a God. I think most Americans hope there's a God. John Updike says, well, the future is just an extension of the past. It's like a particle that's being measured. It eludes prediction. Judaism, Christianity, both religions of waiting. Waiting. Waiting in one case for the Messiah and the other case for the Messiah's second coming. Christian time is an interim that is stretched longer than the prophets and early saints expected. And something might happen in faith's future. What occurs won't be easily intelligible. The Gospels took most of a century to get written, but the yearning, the insistence of there to be, quote William James, something more will persist. Which brings me to ask again at the beginning of Advent, what are you waiting for? What do you want to happen this Advent? The end of all time? Birth of a new age? Are some of you at the end of your waiting? Ready to give up? Jesus promised he would return and warn the disciples to stay awake, be alert, look alive. Are we still waiting? Is there some place to take our stand other than the alternative of apocalyptic gloom? Can in the meantime we be people of peace and justice and grace? Can we? Can we offer an alternative voice? Instead of my way, can we say, let's look for God's way? I got some disciples up here. They're nodding their heads. The little ones, they're in it. Yes. So my challenge at the beginning of Advent, at the beginning of this season, I would want to put you back in touch with your longing for God. For God's intervention in your life, in the world. And not only in relation to the chronic problems of this world and all humanity, but think of it more than ever before, that we might use our technology in ways that would bring peace. How about that? That we might use Facebook in a way that might offer encouragement and love. How about that? That we might use Twitter to offer a different way. something called forgiveness. Is there such a thing? There is for me. That we might try to find opportunities to melt down the anger and offer love. How many of you were touched by the picture of the police officer hugging the little black boy? Touched by that? Me too. How about that? Is there an alternative? And I'll tell you, we need outside help. We're not going to do this on our own. And I think if we try, we'll probably just mess it up. We need God to come down here and help us. We need God to give us a different perspective, a different view. We need God to fill our hearts with love and with peace and with mercy and with kindness and with the Holy Spirit. And somebody's planted in us this dream of a future that's better than our past. And that someone is God. And He's promised us a new creation in Christ, a new heaven, a new earth, and God's good time. And our longing for it, as weary as we might get in waiting, is a form of faith, folks. So my other task is to urge you to let hope awaken within you. Let God's promise come to life within you, even if it means that you've got to suffer a little bit for it. Don't give up on God. This past week, I was in my office. And there were two best friends from 17th Street. One was black and one was white. And the little white boy says to me, "My buddy brought me to Christ." He accepted Jesus in his heart, and he wants me to accept Jesus in mine too. And we want to get baptized together. Is that okay? Guess what? Is that okay? We're going to have a baptism this Advent season. How cool is that? God came down. He still is. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Keep working. Keep waiting. Keep praying. God is coming. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Suddenly, Lord, a new day is here. Oh God, above and beyond, we need You to come down here. We can't turn this world into Your vision of paradise without Your help. And as we struggle to live surrounded in this darkness, God, sometimes our own inner light just seems to dim. We make bad choices and we say things that we ought not say. And too soon we give up. We give up on our world. We give up on people. We give up on ourselves. And we give up on you. But something compels us still, in spite of all the noise, in spite of everything around us. We're not satisfied, and we feel restless, and we're agitated inside. And so we won't give up on the vision that you have for us. And we will work for it. And we will set our dreams on your vision. God, within us, among us, encourage our hearts. Renew our strength so that we might build your house as a place of peace for all people, a place of healing for all people, a place of faith for all people, so that your light continually burns and that we might lead all people to you as we wait for your advent. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.